This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the show, we continue our look at plants, good, bad, and ugly. Our focus in this portion of the program, bad and ugly. Writer and naturalist Amy Stewart is my guest. She is the author most recently of Wicked Plants, the Weed That Killed Lincoln's Mother and Other Botanical Atrocities. The book is published by Algonquin. You'll find more about Amy Stewart and her latest book, Wicked Plants, at the website www.wickedplants.com. Amy Stewart, welcome back to the program.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be back.
Yeah. So what weed killed Nancy Hanks Lincoln?
It was actually a plant called white snake root. And white snake root is a poisonous plant that's especially poisonous to cattle. So what actually happened is that, you know, the cows would graze on the plant, and it makes the cows sick, and the poison ends up in their milk. People drink the milk, and they get sick and die. It was called milk sickness, and it was a real problem in the 1800s.
Yeah, boy, it must have killed an awful lot of people.
It did. There's still places in the South called Milk Sick Ridge and Milk Sick Cove. I mean, it could wipe out a little village. It was a terrible tragedy.
Hmm. You say these are plants we don't want to run into in a dark alley, but some of these plants are smack dab right under our noses. What are some of the plants growing in our gardens that could be wicked?
Well, when I think about poisonous plants, some that come to mind that are in a garden would be like foxglove, for instance. I mean, the botanical name for foxglove is digitalis, and of course, digitalis is a cardiac medication. So
mm-hmm.
It's great if you have a heart condition, but not so great just to kind of randomly nibble on in the garden. And, you know, even hydrangea contains a little bit of cyanide, I was surprised to learn. Like, not a lot of cyanide,
yeah.
But even a little bit of cyanide is kind of a surprise. It's such a beautiful, you know, innocent-looking plant.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned digitalis. Have other wicked, so-called wicked plants been put to good use?
A surprising number of them, yes. It's really interesting that, you know, what is poison in one quantity is medicine in another. So I think about, like, yew trees, the Pacific yew and all the other yew trees that people grow as hedges is actually a very good cancer drug. It's used to make Taxol, which is used for breast cancer. So it stops cells from dividing, and normally that's a very, very bad thing, but in the case of cancer, it can be a good thing to have a drug that prevents cellular division.
Hmm. I'm not going to be nibbling on my hydrangea.
No.
But I wonder, you know, given that there are a number of things growing in our yards that could be dangerous, should we be concerned? How concerned?
Well, I think that people ought to think about this if they have a pet that's into nibbling on things, and not all pets are. In fact, I just talked to a woman who said, oh, yes, I have two dogs. One dog gets into everything, and the other dog just doesn't. And so you sort of got to know your pet's personality. And with small children, I think if a child is too young to sort of understand the notion of, you know, if mom and dad haven't fed it to you at the dinner table before, then don't eat it. You know, and at a certain age, a kid can grasp that. They can understand, I'm out in the garden, I'm about to put this berry in my mouth. Have I ever had this berry before? Is this something we've had for dinner? But kids who are too young to understand that can be tempted by bright berries or brightly colored flowers. So it's worth looking at.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the wicked garden you've cultivated.
Well, you know, what happened is that as I was working on the book, I really wanted to acquire these plants. And they're not all that easy to get a hold of. Something like mandrake, for example, is just not a plant you can walk into a garden center and buy. So if I found one, or if I knew somebody who had one and would sell one to me, then I really wanted to have a way to grow it. And so I had a bunch of plants under grow lights in my office for a while. And that, you know, at some point those plants have to go in the ground. So I actually figured out that I did have a little space in my garden that was sealed off from the pets and kind of sealed off from the front yard and the neighbors and the kids, and so I planted a poison garden.
Mm. You know, there are many fine mystery stories that feature plant material or substances derived from plants as the murder weapon.
Yes.
And there are also true crime stories that feature a poisonous plant. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, you know, for murder mysteries, the one that I've been trying to work out of my head is some sort of mystery involving the coyotillo shrub, which is a shrub in the southwestern United States that produces these berries that cause paralysis. But the thing is, they don't paralyze you right away. So, like, you eat the berries, and then several hours later, you're paralyzed. And I'm just thinking, that is great material for a plot. I just have to figure out what the plot is, where at the critical moment, suddenly the paralysis sets in.
So we're going to look for a mystery novel from you next.
I think, yeah, I've got to work through that, definitely.
Yeah. Well, the design of this book allows us to imagine it in the hands of some shady character up to no good. What would you like to tell us about the look of the book and its etchings and illustrations?
Well, I knew that it was going to be an illustrated book, and what I really wanted was to find a way to sort of show what the plant looks like, because people sort of want to know that, but to make it seem a little lurid or a little menacing, or to, you know, somehow get its wickedness across. And so we found this artist. She's actually very young. She's in her 20s. Her name is Bryony Morrow Cribbs, and she does copper plate etchings, which is, you know, this is how botanical books were illustrated 200 years ago. It's a very old technique. And something about that lends itself. I mean, it's got this kind of Gothic Victorian feel to it. So that's definitely what we wanted.
Yeah. Also, you could imagine this in the library, you know, where Harry Potter would have been hanging out as a student.
I know. And I was so pleased that so it's like it's this hardcover book, but without a dust jacket. So it's got this kind of nice texture on the front, and they put a ribbon bookmark in it. And there's something about that ribbon sewn into the binding that makes you think that it's, even though it's a brand new book, that it feels old-fashioned somehow.
Yeah. Well, if you were at all suspect in the recent demise of someone, you'd want this on your library shelf.
That's true. I know. It's sort of like, well, if you've got motive, means, and opportunity, right? And
yeah.
So.
Well, tell us about some other plants that are wicked. There is a tree that sheds poison daggers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So this is the giant stinging tree in southern Australia. And it is quite possibly the world's most painful plant. It sheds these tiny little hairs that really look like peach fuzz. They look very innocent, but they're like tiny little hypodermic needles. Every one gets under your skin and releases this poison under your skin, and the pain can last for up to a year. Yes, and it's supposed to be just excruciatingly painful. Like people who've been stung by nettles or poison ivy, this is much worse. And it actually does shed them. So even if you don't brush up against the plant, if you're just sort of walking around and it's kind of a windy day, they'll actually fly around in the breeze a little bit. They can get in your eyes and your nose and your mouth. So, I mean, that to me is like a truly horrifying plant. I could not have made that plant up.
Oh, crikey.
I know.
Ooh. What else is out there in the world that is in this kind of category is like really, really, it's... You couldn't make it up.
Yeah, well, one of them that really astonished me is killer algae. And I had heard about this plant. It's actually kind of like a seaweed. And I knew that it was just this very invasive underwater plant that was choking out aquatic life and fish can't eat it. But what I didn't know about it is that it is one individual mutant bit of plant that escaped from an aquarium and got into the ocean and has been just reproducing by propagation. You know, you drag an anchor through it and chop it up into a million little bits, and every one of those little bits becomes a new plant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually one organism
that
has just been chopped up, and so it's actually all one plant that has just covered miles of the ocean floor. And that kind of creeped me out. Like, okay, that is invasive enough that it sort of freaks me out that one plant could do that.
Yeah. Is in the overall scheme of things, what's the role of this wickedness in the natural world?
Oh, well, you know, It's really interesting when you think about it from the plant's point of view. Like, if you're a plant, it's really important that you not get eaten, right? Like, I mean, in the hierarchy of things you're going to do with your day, like, don't get eaten today would be pretty important. And plants cannot run away. You know, they are stuck in one place. And so they have to find ways to punish anyone who dares to eat them. And that's what a lot of this is about. I mean, a lot of these crazy chemicals that plants make and these very painful barbs that they produce are all about keeping people or animals from eating or destroying them, and surprisingly effective at that. Mm.
What inspired you to delve into this world?
Well, you know, I think I have a little bit of a dark side. But I don't know. I really do. I sort of love criminals in a way. I love the idea that there is a subversive element to the plant kingdom.
Uh-huh.
I mean, plants that make us go to war and plants that are illegal and intoxicating and just gross in some way, really offensive, and they smell terrible, they explode, they ooze nasty stuff. And so I just thought it would be fun to really go there. You know, like, let's go to the dark side. Like, what's there?
They've led us to war?
Well, sure. I mean, think about, like, the opium wars.
Of course.
Think about the drug wars over coca. I mean, that's been an incredibly violent war that we have initiated. And even, like, spice wars. And things like tobacco. You know, one of the interesting things about tobacco is that it was really instrumental in bringing slavery to the United States. It was the need for workers in the fields to cultivate the tobacco crop that drove the early slave trade. Well, what a despicable thing to do. And so it's interesting what the plant's role in that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a, I wish I was, I had plans to visit Brooklyn and New York. You've got an exhibition there at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden that runs through September 6th. What's it like?
Well, I have partnered up with them to do this Wicked Plant exhibit. And the thing is, they have some wonderful wicked plants already in their permanent collection. Like, they have the largest poison sumac I've ever seen. It's amazing. And it's, of course, a very, very painful plant. They have a little moat around it so you won't get too close to it. But they have also brought in a lot of wicked plants. So they've got castor bean, which contains ricin, one of the most deadly poisons the plant kingdom makes. And, you know, Datura, which is a hallucinogen, lots of interesting ones. And since they also have, they've got an area where they can do tropical plants, so they can have the carnivorous plants, the jungle plants, the desert plants. So that was kind of what got me excited about working with them, is they can show wicked plants all over the world in one garden.
Mm. I suspect that most of us have a little bit of the villainous in us, that we would like to go and see this. But I guess for those of us who can't, we can visit the Brooklyn Botanic Garden online.
They've got a lot of interesting resources on their website and a couple of videos and good stuff.
Okay, and
I
also
think that's bbg.org.
That's right. And also listeners can visit you at www.wickedplants.com.
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Amy, thanks so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Amy Stewart, author most recently of Wicked Plants, the weed that killed Lincoln's mother and other botanical atrocities. The publisher is Algonquin.